Welcome to Colchonero Chat on this Tuesday afternoon, my time at least. I'm Jeremy Barron, joined as usual by Robbie Dunn and a new face today, Peter Coyley of SB Nation's AC Milan blog, the AC Milan Offside. Peter, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's I'll be back of a tough loss, but happy to be here.
We are delighted to have you. We did want to get an AC Milan perspective for this game. It's a huge night for both clubs. It's historically, this is a kind of a glamour game in the Champions League, and seeing that Milan is back TIFO before the game at San Siro, putting aside allegiances, that was pretty spectacular to see. Milan have such a storied history in this competition, and that was objectively pretty cool.
Yeah, and it definitely gave me chills seeing that TIFO go up. Obviously, the last time that we played at home against you guys, the last time we were in the Champions League, it didn't, go all that well, and it really marked kind of a key moment in what became about a 7-year long abyss. It was special to be back, and I really enjoyed kind of having that moment to relish in.
And we were treated, guys, to quite the game, in objectively quite the game. It started out really well for Milan, but Atletico ultimately getting the victory and collecting 3 huge points. Robbie, what are your general thoughts, your initial takeaways from what we just saw at San Siro?
Yeah, well, to start with, like you said, there it was a huge night in the Champions League, and I must admit that I was kind of jealous watching the other games kick off. And I was like, because last week, or the week before last, we ended up watching Atletico versus Porto, probably the worst game of the game week. And I was watching this thinking, oh please, like, we've got PSG, Man City, my dad was watching Liverpool in the sitting room. I had Atletico here, and I was kind of like, just please be a good game. And then when I saw Atletico getting run off their feet in the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I was thinking, this could be 3 or 4-0. And then the sending out just completely changed. Well, it changed the game after halftime. It didn't really change too much after the sending off.
Right.
Once Simeone could got his players in and made a couple of switches, I think, and I don't even think it was really a tactical thing. It was more just Atletico had the freedom to kind of play. And I know, Peter, you're not on with us every week, but basically what we talk about is how Simeone doesn't really have too well. We can't seem to see a plan there. But once Atletico went 1-0 behind and had drawn that first game against Porto, they needed a win, and it just kind of freed them to be themselves. And we saw João Felix, Lemar, Rodrigo de Paul kind of playing the kinds of passes and playing that kind of dynamic way that we just aren't used to seeing Atletico. And I think it was it's exciting to think that they can play like that, but it's also worrying that you have to go 1-0 down in a must-win game in order to see it. So,
and have an extra man as well.
Sorry?
And have an extra man as well, because Atletico were up a man for an hour.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that kind of skews it as well. So, yeah.
It's still good to see it, though, from the Atletico point of view. Peter, what did you make of Milan's start to the game? They obviously got the opening goal in the 20th minute from Rafael Leao. Very well-taken goal set up by Brahim Diaz. What did you make of the start, and how deflating was the Francesi red card?
Yeah, it was... The start was brilliant. It was exactly what we were looking for. Brahim Diaz looked lively. Leao looked like the breakout player we've seen in the Calcio this season. I actually took a work call during when the second yellow occurred, and I only caught a replay of it. I think it was frustrating because it was, it was one of those that I could see, officials saying, okay, last warning, next one's a yellow. So to give the second yellow that early was disheartening, but again, I could see the second yellow at the same time, so it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Robbie. Go ahead.
I think really being drawn into this group where we're not expected to finish all that well, And to be able to punch our weight with the, you know, with the bigger sides, you know, was particularly important to see. So while it did hurt to see, and really, really took a turn for the worse, well, I guess, you know, to your guys' point, right, it didn't really take a turn for the worse, I guess, till the second half came on when Simeone's side could really play more freely. You know, it was certainly frustrating, but also, you know, very exciting to see that we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think AC Milan were good, and they're the kind of energetic team that could give Atletico problems. But I think on the red card, I think Kessié had a couple of nibbles at Llorente, and he was obviously tasked with. They had obviously highlighted. I think Correa is another player who they had highlighted. Like, don't get him turned. Don't let him get turned. Like, don't let him.
And
just Correa. But dangerous, and he's just like, get a defender on his back and just roll him. And I think they were kind of keen to make sure that Correa didn't get into those dangerous positions, but Llorente too on the right hand side. So Kessié, for his first yellow, like, he had a nibble just before he got the yellow on the first yellow, and I think the referee was looking at him going like, man, like, come on, like, I have to book you here. And it's kind of like, it was very silly, but obviously Kessié kind of almost kind of got into a bit of a staring contest, and he was like, okay, are you gonna do it? And obviously he's one of the most Shakir, or however you say his name, he's one of the most experienced refs in the business, and he does not flinch. And he was like, okay, Kessié, do you want to do that? Is that the game you want to play? I'll have no problem showing you a red. I think it was probably a little bit harsh, but it was quite silly from Kessié after the first yellow. Yeah. After the first yellow. Yeah, it was just kind of silly, and he had obviously. And it was the fact that it was on Llorente as well. If it was on someone else, he might have been like, okay, like. But it was like, are you targeting this guy? Because if you are, like, I've no problem showing you a red. And I think that's why he did it. But yeah, one of those ones where probably might have maybe just let him off on it for on the third one, or on the second yellow. But yeah, he made a decision. And he went with it, and yeah, so it completely swung the game.
Yeah, I think
potentially. Yeah. Potentially swung Atletico Madrid season as well, because
definitely. I think that I think the time period that had elapsed between those two fouls definitely played on Shakir's mind. Like, okay, this is his second foul in the last 15 minutes. It is similar to what happened to Frankie de Jong in Barca's game against Cadiz last week. Two fouls in very quick succession, and referees are going to look for that. It reminded me of that situation. But this did really, in the second half, end up hurting Milan. And we'll talk about how potentially transformational this was for Atletico. In the second half, Cholo made very few reservations about making changes. As we've talked about, Robbie, Simeone's aggression in turning to his bench has kind of defined Atletico's season to this point. Joao Felix comes on before halftime for Kieran Trippier, who might have a muscle pull. I'm speculating there, but it looked like he was grabbing his hamstring. Felix comes on. Rodrigo De Paul and Renan Lodi both come on at halftime as well. Of that trio, who do you think made the most significant impact? I think it was Felix, but I'm curious to know both your thoughts on how they changed the game.
You want to go first, Peter?
Yeah, and actually, before I jump into that, I just want to add in one quick thing. On the last point, I think you'll find something else that might have upset most Milan fans is that they will have told you that, and I would have probably said the same, that they would have wanted to see Tonali as opposed to Kessié, just given, you know, Kessié's had a really kind of not poor run of form, but he hasn't been himself lately, and Tonali's been, you know, having the breakout season that everyone was kind of thinking he might have last year.
Mm-hmm. Tonali played very well.
You know, but at the same time, you know, Kessié is a more experienced player, and, you know, in a very big, you know, Champions League tie, you can't really fault Pioli for making that decision. But to you know, your more recent point, I think I saw a lot of explosion when Joao Felix entered the field. He really was giving Calabria a lot more than he could take on, but a lot more that he had to really worry about, you know, positionally, Calabria, you know, it can stab him from time to time, and Felix being the kind of creative player he is, you know, he can dance away, he can hurt you in one or two different ways. So, you know, he jumped out to me as a really kind of creative threat that even when he entered the field, my first thought was, man, I hope he's not.
It was like, right?
He certainly caused our right flank quite a bit of trouble.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it was Joe Felix as well, and it's kind of funny because when he came on, he was like, you can kind of tell when he's in the mood, or I guess that's kind of unfair because so many times, maybe this is Simeone's fault, but he doesn't like give him the freedom to come on and just show his personality. Like when Joe Felix came on tonight, he ran on, he had his hand up every time, he was like calling for the ball, and he was like, as soon as he got the ball, he was like, I'm taking someone on, I don't care, the first come, first serve, like, I'm gonna just like take whoever you are on. And we saw that, like, we've only seen it like a handful of times with Atletico, like against Leipzig that time in the Champions League, he came on, he was just like, wow, this guy had just been uncorked here, like, and I think we saw that today as well. Like, he's been criticized in the past for not having enough personality, but I'm just wondering, maybe he's not being given enough freedom to show his personality and to kind of just, like, I know, like, he's still only young and he's early 21 now. Like, is he still 21?
Yeah, about to be 22.
He's about to be 22, so he's still young, so you're not going to say, okay, yo, this is your offer, your attack, your goal, this is your team. But, I mean, I think we've seen now, when he's given the chance to just go and show his personality, he does want to do it. It's not like he doesn't have it in him or he shies away. Like, so I think that might be a managerial issue. Like, just let him play. And I think we saw that tonight, and I thought he was exceptional. And just, he adds, and Simeone says this too, which is kind of strange. So I'm not really sure what's the issue, but like he says, Felix offers us something that no other players in the team can. Like, mm-hmm. I think we see that with his passing, with his ambition, with his ability to kind of find the pass between the lines, the exact things that, well, Thomas Lemar offers it, but Joao Felix does too. I thought he was excellent tonight, and he just, it's a sign of a really good player as well, and that he makes everyone else around him look that little bit sharper, that little bit better, makes the whole thing kind of knits the whole thing together quite neatly, and it makes everyone look good. And I just wonder, why haven't we seen that, you know, Felix, mm-hmm. more regularly?
Yeah, I think the ankle problems have had a lot to do with it. But yeah, we've talked in the past about Simeone, especially in that first season, not really knowing what his best position was, kind of unsure whether to structure the attack around and at the time a 19-year-old or not, with Griezmann having just departed. Now those two are obviously in the same team. But yeah, this was one of those performances that makes you look at Joao and say, wow, this kid could have everything. He could go to the top if he can stay fit and motivated, because that's also been a question. How hard is he willing to work? Is he going to be in the mood? Is he going to be energized by trying to break down a team playing in a low block, or is he just gonna get frustrated? Tonight he looked really confident. I thought that he took over the entire attack in the second half, and that was true even after Lemar and Griezmann came on. I thought this was a super encouraging game for him, following really his first really good display following that much ballyhooed ankle surgery in the summer. Peter, all things told, even though Atletico were improving, Milan still had the lead until very late in the game. And then Griezmann obviously gets the equalizer in the 84th minute. What impressed you about how Milan kind of dug in and kept this advantage until the very end?
Yeah, so I think it's really important that I think the young players kind of be given their credit, because, you know, they're not the most experienced when it comes to these bigger ties. So for them to just, you know, to really kind of dig in and try and hold out for the long run, for the long haul of this game, was something that, you know, was not characteristic of this Milan side under Gattuso, under Gianpaolo, I forgot it all. but even under the early days of Stefano Pioli. So, you know, they've come a long way, and even kind of, you know, relatively inexperienced, they showed a lot of character, and I think they've showed, you know, a lot of strong development, and whether that's from, you know, Pioli or being around Zlatan, who, you know, doesn't get to play as much, but, you know, whether it's just their kind of their presence and you know, maybe instilling that in them, you know, I'm not sure what it is, but, you know, it's something that you really kind of need to see if you want to, you know, ultimately push for a title. That's something, you know, Atletico had last season. You guys were always pushing until the end of every game. And that's something that, you know, we would still drop points last season in some of these kind of games where we really had to dig out until the end. And, you know, going down to a team that's, you know, incredibly talented the way Atletico is, and, you know, being able to grin and bear it for almost the full 90, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the players. You know, it's a little upsetting, the result, that we couldn't, you know, go ahead and pull, you know, we couldn't pull it out for the full 90, but, you know, a lot of encouraging signs.
In the 84th, go ahead, Robbie, go ahead.
No, sorry, and I'd actually like to get your, because I hadn't really seen that Rafael Leão guy, much, but he and I do know, and I've seen enough of Brahim Diaz. Well, I saw him at Real Madrid, and he just looked lost. He looked kind of like the kind of player. He was never in the plans of Zidane, or not never in the plans, but just couldn't break in and looked lost. But he seems to really have found his groove there at AC Milan. And I mean, Theo Hernandez, another player who was at Real Madrid and just completely gone. His head was gone, everything. He just didn't look like the player who Atletico thought that he could be. But those two guys seem to have come on massively in the last even just, 12 months, but even just this season alone, they've been excellent, no?
Yeah, and you know, it's when you mentioned, you know, when you mentioned that Felix and the motivational aspect, it reminded me of our own Portuguese left winger in Leão, because a lot of the questions were about his motivation, his work rate, and I understood it to a degree, but the level of talent was so evident, and you know, people were calling for him to be sold, and I really didn't think that was justified. I think he just needed kind of, you know, a second or third season to get his feet under him. And now I kind of seem to really be doing it. Brahim was almost a different story, right? So we let Hakan Çalhanoğlu walk, you know, and join our rivals over on the blue side of town. And you know, a lot of the fans were scrutinizing Maldini over the fact that they didn't go out and get a true number 10 or a tried and true number 10. Instead, he was willing to hand the keys to Brahim, and that's worked out very well. I mean, he's been the creative spark. He has pulled the strings, and it's been returned. I think it's three goals and a couple assists in just the four games to open the season up. You know, he looks lively, he looks spry, and it's, you know, it's a shame that it's a two-year loan with, you know, Madrid get a, I think we get a buy option at 25, and Madrid get a buyback at like 27. I'm hoping that Ancelotti's still there. We, you know, he remembers that he still loves his Milan side, and maybe he'll have a say in, you know, letting us keep him. That's more of a pipe dream than anything. But no, he's been great. And then Teo is, I don't really know what to make of him. He's a left back, but he's also like a left wing, and sometimes he's a striker for us, because he'll just go on these
he's
like a bullet train.
This is exactly why Atletico fans were so distraught over losing him a few years ago, because now this is the player we thought he was going to become. A few years later, this is not the Teo I remember watching at Madrid and at Real Sociedad, guys. This Teo Hernandez is a monster, super fast, super aggressive, can cross the ball really well. He looks like an elite left back now.
Yeah, he's got a knack for drilling shots from outside the box. I mean, he's probably already got a handful of collector's item goals where, you know, he'll either he'll collect the ball and he'll pull trigger from the top of the box, or he'll pop out to him and he's waiting there. And I mean, he can hit a real, real vicious strike into the corner if he's given the time and space. Yeah. So he actually provides a lot from the goal department as well.
And I remember he would take free kicks when he was on loan at Alaves, and those were some seriously dangerous deliveries. But yeah, he looks like a really, really good player now. But Robbie, in the end, as we've intimated throughout the show so far, Atletico did complete the comeback with another substitute, the much maligned Antoine Griezmann getting his first goal since returning from Barcelona. Is this the performance for Griezmann now? Is he going to kick on from here? What did you make of his place in the system tonight?
Yeah, I think he, and it was kind of messy, like by the time he came on and when they were kind of looking for the goals. And it's funny when you say, this is Joao Felix is at back, because when you talk about the alternatives, you've got like Thomas Lemar and Antoine Griezmann. Neither of those players, okay, they're both stars in their own right, but they're not the kind of stars like that teams orbit around, you know. They're the kind of guys who are almost supplementary pieces. I think Griezmann kind of likes it that way. He went to Barcelona and he was quite happy to kind of do whatever was necessary in order to facilitate for Messi. Thomas Lemar is 26 or 27 now, and he's absolutely fantastic footballer, but he's not the kind of superstar that you build a team around. Joao Felix is that guy. So, I mean, I think if Felix plays, it does take the heat off Griezmann. This is where Griezmann shines, and I think he did have a spring in his step, and maybe that's just the way that we look at it after he scored the goal, and like everything kind of has a nice sheen to it when that kind of thing happens. But I think that the goal will definitely help him. But I think more importantly than his goal, which is obviously important in order to set up the fact that Luis Suarez won it then with a penalty. If they had just drawn it from Griezmann's goal, okay, nice, lovely, well done, you got the goal, but against 10 men, didn't win, you know, it's only a draw. The fact that they went on and won it then is kind of like, this feels like a turning point. Now, obviously, that could turn out to be not true, but I think that Griezmann did have a little bit of a spring in his step today, yeah, he would probably benefit from having a Felix to take a little bit of the heat off him and to be able to find him then in space as well, and to be able to break lines, and if they are going to play in that like possession based style. I thought he looked quite good. He took the goal really, really well, and he did have a little bit of a spring in his step, I think.
Yeah, his goal was, I think, a trademark chopped finish on the Lodi header, and Renan Lodi too, 5 key passes in the second half. I thought he was very suspect again defensively, but 5 key passes in half a game of football is not too bad. Not too bad for him either. He needs a good display.
Yeah, he did, and I thought he played well actually going forward. Definitely, he offered them something on the left, and I just wonder actually. I was just thinking when he took off Carrasco, I was kind of thinking Carrasco is kind of has avoided any criticism, and it was almost like he was on the team sheet regardless for some weird reason. I don't know. And then when he took Carrasco off, I was like, oh, we've been looking for like a place in the team, and Carrasco's name almost never came up. It was always Suarez, it was always Condogbia, it was always except for maybe like Llorente and Koke, but Carrasco was never mentioned. Then when he took him off, I was thinking, okay, this actually might work, because Carrasco has just flown under the radar, and he hasn't set the world on fire either this season. So I thought when he was taken off, I thought Lodi definitely added something on the left hand side, and he looked better than he has in recent weeks, definitely.
Yeah, I think Carrasco had another kind of poor game. Calabria did very well on his side. That was a matchup that neither Hermoso nor Carrasco won. Peter, Robbie mentioned it, or hinted at it a moment ago, the 93rd minute penalty. It went to VAR, it was controversial, but it stood. Did you think it should have stood? Was it the right call?
So, in real time, it was difficult to tell, but then, you know, like most Twitter experts, right, you go to social media and suddenly a video that confirms your belief appears. You know, I'm sure there's a bit of bias behind me that suggests it. I didn't think it was a penalty, but, you know, it's what are you going to do, right? I mean, it's a learning moment. It's you know, as long as it doesn't, you know, really kind of dent our form going into the league, right? And then when we take on Porto and you know, if we can advance in the Champions League, right, if, you know, things keep going however they're going, you know, dropping into the Europa League to at least give us high-level competition towards, you know, into that knockout round is obviously the next preference, right? So ultimately, you know, maybe I didn't think it was a penalty, but, you know, it's neither here nor there, right? It's only but so much that can be, you know, gleaned from that, me thinking otherwise.
That is a very philosophical response. I like it.
Got a bottom. Right.
Robbie, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I think it was probably the right decision on balance. Like, if it hadn't just hit his arm the way that he was standing, I think the current rules would say it wasn't. But the fact that he kind of scooped it and then kind of went after the ball then and kind of scooped his arm up, I think it probably was a penalty. But just like Peter said, I mean, whether I think it is or not, I mean, it doesn't really matter. But it's kind of interesting what Peter said there about the AC Milan competing for the league, and I think that's probably more realistic for AC Milan this season, given the fact that, I mean, they're probably not going to win it. Look, Atletico probably aren't going to win the Champions League either, but Atletico are actually in the exact opposite boat, whereby they've won La Liga and they've won it under Simeone now twice, so it's the Champions League that they really, really, really want. And Atletico are going to be up there in La Liga, and I think that they'll probably have to mess it up, I think, given what we've seen from Real Madrid recently. And yeah, just not convinced by them or Barcelona. I think Atletico will be up there in La Liga, and even if they finish second and get a, it'll be the Champions League, I think, that would probably define their season for them. Whereas for AC Milan, obviously with Juventus being so so dominant in Serie A in recent years, a really proper good Serie A title challenge from them is probably what they're looking for. Whereas with Atletico, it's Champions League, or I won't say nothing, but it's the Champions League that Simeone wants, and this is a team that has been built to compete in Europe. And I think that it's kind of funny how when you kind of juxtapose the teams like that, they're in kind of different situations here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we talked about earlier in the show, Milan are just getting back to prominence after several years out of the Champions League and kind of in and out of the Europa League as well. Had finished second last season behind fierce rivals Inter. And yeah, based on this display for most of this game, based on the talent Milan have, I'd say they're going to make a pretty good run in Serie A next year. They gave Atletico one hell of a battle, and Atletico almost beat themselves again, falling behind early and really struggling to generate many dangerous opportunities in attack for a lot of the game. But of course, Luis Suarez pops up with the 97th minute penalty to win it. Robbie, do we still have a Luis Suarez problem?
You have a Luis Suarez problem. It's not a one-touch chance. If he has to take more than one touches, it's gone. His second touch is a tackle, as we say.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah, I think he so many attacks broke down with his poor touches. But at the same time, the chances that he did get, the header, there was another one in the first half, both one-touch efforts, and then obviously the penalty. He will score if you can just put it on a plate for him. He will find the target most of the time, and he will hurt you. But if you're asking him to do anything else, yeah, you've got a problem.
Yeah, and whenever he took a heavy touch, like one or two Milan defenders were always closing in on him to win the ball back. It was tough to watch, but he stayed out for all 101 minutes, and of course we'll get some plaudits for the winning penalty. However, the context suggests that, well, maybe we should sooner or later start talking about Suarez as potentially a super sub. He may help the team better in that way, because most of this 90 plus minute stretch on Tuesday night was a rough one for him. But he does get the winning goal. And Atletico now second in Group B behind Liverpool in the Champions League. Peter, who do Milan have this weekend in Serie A?
So we'll travel away to face Atalanta.
Oh, tough one.
And yeah, they're a lot of fun to deal with. especially on the back of what is kind of an injury crisis for us at the moment. You know, some players are returning to health, others are just going right back out with injury. You know, it seems Atalanta always has a slow start to the season, and then we always get them right when the slow start is no more. They gave Inter just about all they could handle last week, and now they're going to, you know, they're going to put us in the crosshairs just as equally as we're going to do it to them. You know, we do travel away from home better than we play at home. So that's, you know, I'm hoping that kind of away form, you know, keeps up. But Atalanta, is certainly a difficult side to deal with, and you know, we'll certainly have our hands full. How about you all?
Meanwhile, Robbie, we've got Barcelona at home this weekend.
Oh boy! Yeah.
Fun one.
Like I said, this might be a turning point, and Barcelona aren't obviously the force that they were, but. Yeah, I mean, I would be concerned. I mean, you'll take it whatever way it comes, a turning point or a moment of kind of where the season just kind of comes together. But I would be concerned for what Atletico looked like in the opening 30 minutes before that red card, because, like I said, AC Milan looked superior. It was kind of like the way they played, and it was like Atletico versus Chelsea last year. It looked like AC Milan almost had 12 players or something. It was kind of that kind of intensity. And I think Atletico and Spanish teams in general struggle to play against teams that play with that intensity. So I don't know if Barcelona will, or I don't know if Atletico will start the game the same way as they have the previous six or seven this season, but they're going to have to maybe start the game on the front foot. And I don't mean by on the front foot, lateral passing, holding possession, this kind of a stale possession that they, it is referred to as possession based, but it's not very progressive, it's not very direct. And Simeone has said that too. He said, like, we're not vertical enough to hurt teams. And I think one big problem is, and we do this every single time, because Atletico start the game with the starting 11 start, don't play well, go behind, and then the players that finish the pitch look like, okay, now we have the 11. That's the 11 that has to start. So then that 11 starts, and they don't start the game well. And then it just keeps going back and forth. So it looks like we have the semblance of a starting 11 with Joe Felix, Lamar, Griezmann, Suarez. But how he does it and how he plays it, I mean, I don't know if he's going to play with such reckless abandon against Barcelona, but let's hope so.
Yeah, I sent out a tweet during the game. I think that all three of Felix, Depaul, and Lamar have to start for Atletico right now, because they are the three most progressive, most dynamic, and most threatening attacking players the team has right now. I mean, we talked about Felix and Lamar, who had another great game just fresh off injury today. Depaul and his ability to just consistently push the ball forward and carry it forward and deliver it short or deliver a long pass going 30, 40 yards, that's huge. It keeps a lot of cohesion in the midfield, particularly when Koke goes off. I think those three guys need to start. It's difficult to know which Barcelona Atletico are going to get. This Barcelona team has they played very well against Levante. Ansu Fati is back and scored a goal. But they've also had real stinkers against Granada, against Cadiz this season. The Socios are in pretty much open revolt there against Koeman and against how things are going. It's hard to know which Barca Atletico are going to see.
Exactly, yeah. So. And, I wouldn't be willing to bet on which one it is going to be.
Do you want to pick a draw then for this one?
Oh, sorry. No, I think Atletico will win it. 2-1.
2-1, yeah, it's the favorite scoreline, 2-1. And Peter, you confident against Atlanta this weekend? It's going to be a tough one. Could be a lot of goals there.
I am. We've shown to be resilient, right? We really got played off the pitch by Liverpool, and we responded by coming back and drawing Juventus and then beating two more sides. So I'm sticking by that resilience factor. As good as Atalanta are, I think we'll be just a bit better. But I see probably the more frantic, explosive, 2-3 kind of game.
And there have been quite a few goals in Serie A this season, as opposed to La Liga, which is now arguably the most defensive league in Europe. It's awesome how that perception has shifted for Serie A. Maybe not so much for fans of La Liga, given the relatively few goals per game that we've seen so far. But yeah, two proper games this weekend, proper partidazos in Spain and Italy. Fellas, this was fabulous. I think we're going to leave it there. Peter, you are at the AC Milan Offside, our SB Nation sister site. Tell us a little bit about the AC Milan Offside, what you guys offer, and we'll direct our traffic there.
Yeah, so similar to you guys, right? We are the SB Nation blog for AC Milan. Offering Calcio content, of course, focused on Milan. We publish articles typically. You have your game previews, your five takeaways, transfer grades. A lot of some of the similar articles you'll see come out from other blog posts. We're working on different ways to differentiate ourselves. I know a lot of the talk is about bringing a podcast back out. We previously had one. I think the goal is to start bringing it back out, which when that is around, we'd love to have you guys back on on that one as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But there'll be updates surrounding that. But otherwise, a lot of game reviews, a lot of insightful tactical analysis on the way Pioli set up his team, the way, the opposition's going to set up and how, you might see Pioli change formation as a result. A lot of in-depth work there. And I'm excited about what's to come.
Perfect. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Robbie, you and I will be back on Saturday to talk about Atletico and Barcelona. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for your continued support, and we will chat with you very soon.